It's Monday, May 4th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, but I'm actually quite normal. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I am exhausted, and I hope you are too from a busy marijuana March weekend. For me, it started on Thursday. I had to get extra busy to put up that month-end marijuana music post, or the pair of posts that I put up on Thursday and Friday. Those of you subscribing to the Stash through iTunes or through an RSS feed didn't get those two musical posts. Those were special only for the Stash blog. So if you'd like to get them, it's two different MP3 downloads, and these ones are in high-quality variable bitrate mode. These are all of the songs that were played on the Daily Audio Stash in the month of April. So you have to go to the blog to check them out at stash.normal.org. Now, after producing those, I also had to produce a 30-minute video because on Friday, May 1st, it was the 10-year anniversary of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act going into effect. I produced a 30-minute presentation called The Gold Standard, which takes a look at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program's history and some other statistics relating to workplace safety and so on. Had to produce that video for them to show on Friday afternoon, so I did an all-nighter on Thursday night. On Friday, I didn't get to go to that presentation because I was at the Edward Tufte Seminar in Portland. He's an expert in visual communications, and the books and the lecture that I got are really going to help me to design some very effective websites and graphics for Normal for the years to come. And then Friday night, of course, was the Cannabis Common Sense TV show that I usually appear on, although I didn't appear this weekend because I was way too tired. But my friend Chief Greenbud was in town from Nashville, Tennessee, and he appeared on the TV show, so that was a lot of fun. After the TV show is the after party, which is a very Portland-style after party in a pub that closes its doors just for those of us in the medical marijuana program. And I'll just let your imagination run wild with that. Saturday morning, of course, brought the Global Marijuana March to Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. We started the morning with a typical high humidity day, what some people outside the Pacific Northwest might call rain. Very light rain by our standards, though. But wouldn't you know it, just as we got ready to march, the clouds blew away, the sun came out, and we had a full hour and a half worth of sun to march to. And it was really, really a very nice feeling to have that sun come out as we marched through the streets of Portland. We returned to Pioneer Courthouse Square to enjoy the music of Chief Greenbud and Human and the Human Revolution, who are going to be our special guests today on the Daily Audio Stash. That's right, we're going to have live in-studio interviews and music from Human and some of the band, so stay tuned for that. After the marijuana march on Saturday, we had the after party here at Normal West Coast Media Headquarters. The chief was here, as well as Human and the Human Revolution, plus a lot of the board members from Oregon Normal, and a good time was had by all. Sunday? I don't remember much of Sunday. I slept through most of it. But here we are on Monday with some more Daily Audio Stash for you. Now, coming up, of course, we've got our hemp headlines. We're going to be taking a look at a piece that I got published in the Eugene Weekly in Eugene, Oregon, called Medical Marijuana, The Beginning of Reform, Not the End. We'll take a look at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upholding the cruel sentence of Brian Eppes for growing medical marijuana in California. The Wall Street Journal takes a look at taxing marijuana in the city of Oakland, and Dude Master brings us a story of reefer madness in the state of Illinois as those who are opposed to medical marijuana pull out all the stops in trying to prevent it from happening. And like I mentioned, for our daily Toker Tunes today, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we're going to be featuring an exclusive in-studio interview and live musical performances from Human and the Human Revolution. It's everything you've come to expect from the growing truth about cannabis and the source for your pulse of the cannabis community. It's time for your normal daily audio stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and/or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Medical marijuana in Oregon, not the end of reform, but the beginning. My opinion piece in the Eugene Weekly, celebrating the declaration of Medical Marijuana Awareness Week in the city of Eugene. As we celebrate the 10 years of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, let's reflect on a decade of compassion and success. We've seen the program grow to protect more than 20,000 seriously sick and disabled Oregonians' use of, quote, the safest therapeutically active substance known to man, end quote, according to DEA Administrative Law Judge Francis Young. Some 20,000 Oregonians no longer face harassment, arrest, and imprisonment by law enforcement for their medical use of marijuana as recommended by their doctor. The program is self-funded and has run a surplus that generated over $1 million for other state programs. However, even with a medical marijuana program, patients still face enormous hurdles while trying to follow their treatment. There is no means of distributing marijuana, buying and selling it, whether they're medical users or not, is still prohibited by state and federal laws. If a patient cannot grow their own, then they must acquire their medicine on the illegal black market, where it costs more per ounce than palladium or saffron. The expense of growing medical marijuana is not usually covered by patients' insurance. Marijuana's illegality to the non-medical user means businesses will still urine test their employees, with no exception for the medical users. Landlords may discriminate against patients in housing, and child custody is endangered any time a patient is taken to court. The illegality of marijuana for the majority of its users also has an impact on the effectiveness of medical use. The U.S. government recently denied a petition by Dr. Lyle Craker of the University of Massachusetts Amherst to grow a plot of marijuana for scientific and medical research, despite the recommendation of another DEA administrative law judge, Mary Ellen Bittner, that he was qualified, the research is necessary, and he should be allowed to do it. This stranglehold on medical research also prevents investigation of differing marijuana strains and how their cannabinoid ratios may be effective in treating different conditions. U.S. government statistics show nearly 1 in 8 adult Oregonians use marijuana at least once per year, and so long as they represent a consumer demand for marijuana, there will always be entrepreneurs looking to provide the supply. The state spends an estimated $61.5 million per year enforcing a marijuana prohibition that 354,000 Oregonians per year ignore. Yet, adult Oregonians have still consistently used marijuana for non-medical purposes at a steady rate of 6.5% to 8% per month over the past decade. Medical users of marijuana only represent a little more than 1 in 20 out of all the marijuana users in Oregon. Prohibition of marijuana to the 19 non-medical users is costing taxpayer dollars in a proven futile attempt to stop their use, while Oregon looks to cut school days and programs in order to save money in this economic downturn. Meanwhile, that one medical user faces high medicine prices, lack of availability, job loss, home loss, family breakups, and a dearth of reliable scientific information about the medicine because we deem it illegal for the other 19 adult users. The key to the illegality of marijuana for 95% of its Oregon users lies in marijuana's Schedule 1 status. The federal government ranks drugs in schedules from 1 to 4. The federal government ranks drugs in schedules from 1 to 5. Drugs rated 2, 3, 4, and 5, which include cocaine, methamphetamine, opium, PCP, and anabolic steroids, are all prescribable drugs anywhere in the U.S., from the dangerous Schedule 2 drugs to the relatively safe Schedule 5 drugs. Marijuana is rated Schedule 1, completely illegal even for doctors to prescribe, which means the drug or other substance has a high potential for abuse, despite the fact that only 9% of marijuana users develop dependence, compared to 15% for alcohol and 32% for tobacco. The drug or other substance has no currently accepted medical use for treatment in the United States, despite the fact that 13 states now recognize marijuana's medical use, and the U.S. government holds patent number 6630507 on the medical use of cannabinoids, and there is a lack of accepted safety for use of the drug or other substance under medical supervision, despite the fact that the U.S. government currently sends 300 medical marijuana joints to 5 U.S. citizens every month, including Oregonian LV Musica. It is even more clear that marijuana is misscheduled when one considers the raw plant form of cannabis, which ranges from 4 to 15% THC, is considered Schedule 1, yet the pharmaceutical version of THC, the Marinol pill, at 100% THC, is considered Schedule 3. Medical marijuana is a wonderful change in Oregon, but only a beginning. Until marijuana is legal for all responsible adults, medical marijuana patients will continue to face these hurdles and never truly receive the treatment they deserve. Judge J. Torture Memo Bybee and Ninth Circuit Panel uphold 10-year sentence for Brian Eppes. In an unpublished opinion, a 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reaffirmed the 10-year mandatory minimum sentence of Brian Eppes on charges of conspiracy to manufacture marijuana. Eppes' attorney, Brenda Grantland, says she will appeal for an on-bank rehearing of the ruling by the full Ninth Circuit. Eppes was the first California medical marijuana patient to be prosecuted on federal charges. He was arrested in 1997, shortly after the passage of Prop 215, while he was growing for a Chico patients group. He was sentenced to 10 years for conspiring to grow over 1,000 plants from a succession of grows, some of them never planted, in his Chico home. Eppes' attorney, Brenda Grantland, appealed his sentence to the Ninth Circuit on various grounds, including egregious prosecutorial misconduct, improper cross-examination, improper denial of safety valve relief from the mandatory minimum, and the unclarity of the law at the time of his arrest. The panel did not bother to hold an oral hearing, but issued an 11-page ruling denying the appeal. The panel included the infamous Judge J. Bybee, recently indicted as an international war criminal by Spain for having authored the Department of Justice's notorious torture memos. Bybee was appointed before knowledge of his advocacy of illegal conduct by government agents became public. Other judges on the panel were Hawkins, a former federal prosecutor, and Rawlinson. Eppes' supporters expressed shock at the opinion. California Normal coordinator Dale Gehringer said, quote, "This is an egregious miscarriage of justice with no conceivable benefit to the public. Brian Eppes believed he was acting lawfully. To imprison him for 10 years is the kind of sentence one might expect only from judges who countenance torture," end quote. The opinion can be viewed at California Normal's website, canormal.org. Judge Bybee, just curious, in your opinion, are prisoners captured in the war on drugs considered illegal enemy combatants? Do they get the protections of U.S. law and the Geneva Convention? I know, it should be obvious. I mean, since he's an American citizen on American soil in the American justice system. But after having read your infamous torture memos, I know you can create looking glass legal fictions as exceptions to our Constitution, allowing us to torture humans in time of war. Not only should you be impeached from the bench and disbarred for your assault on our Constitution, you should be tried as a war criminal and locked up in Gitmo under the sadistic interrogation regime your memos helped construct. The Wall Street Journal on taxing marijuana in Oakland, California. Oakland City Council last week approved a 1.8% tax on medicinal marijuana sold in the city. If voters pass the proposal in a July election, Oakland would become the nation's first city to directly tax the drug. A city tax on medical marijuana could generate at least $400,000 and perhaps more than $1 million annually, said Rebecca Kaplan, the Oakland City Council member who pushed the proposal. The city of 400,000 residents is facing an $83 million shortfall in a $455 million budget. The owners and managers of Oakland's four medical marijuana dispensaries said they approached the city with the idea. Keith Stevenson, executive director of Purple Heart Patient Center, said, quote, "We wanted to further legitimize the medical marijuana paradigm to show that we are truly willing to assist Oakland and to show other cities that there are social benefits to this," end quote. No formal opposition has formed against the proposal, and Ms. Kaplan and medical marijuana activists said they are confident voters will approve it. But Paul Chabot, a Southern California resident who recently founded the Coalition for a Drug-Free California, is opposed to the idea because he thinks the quasi-legalization of marijuana would add more of the drug into the black market. He said, quote, "It's a front. It also sends the wrong message to children. What are you going to do next? Allow prostitution and tax that? Allow methamphetamine to be sold and tax that?" End quote. Some people just won't learn. This opposition leader obviously is not aware that if we legitimize a banned substance and turn a black market into a legitimate business, then it's no longer a black market. Secondly, here is the message that I want to send to my children. Science over politics. As Dude Master recently wrote in his article, Grade School Children Caught Selling Marijuana, this opposition leader could learn that children have virtually unfettered access to any kind of illicit drug right now. In fact, he asked his 15-year-old, who was attending high school near his home in a middle-class town in Texas, to share a list of items she can obtain within 24 hours' notice at her school for purchase inside of her school. And here is what she wrote down off the top of her head. Marijuana, indoor chronic of any flavor, LSD, magic mushrooms, mescaline, cocaine in any form, meth, ice, and heroin in any form. What the list didn't contain was cigarettes or alcohol. When Dude Master asked his daughter about the availability of those, she stated, "They're harder to get because you have to go to a store, present an ID, and undergo a certain amount of scrutiny." So, Paul, if you truly want to protect our children from reefer madness, then you need to embrace decriminalization and help us to shape our laws of oppression into laws of protection.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Illinois medical marijuana facing reefer madness opposition.
Cops, doctors, and moms push back against medical marijuana. With the push for medical marijuana in full force at the Illinois Capitol, a group of cops, doctors, and moms are now pushing back. The broad coalition says marijuana isn't medicine, but is a dangerous gateway drug. And Dr. Andrea Barthwell says the effort to make it legal is all about legitimizing pot use. Chief Eric Smith with the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, says legalization, even for medicine, could blur the lines between patients and drug dealers. He also hypes up fears of Mexican drug cartels expanding their operations under the guise of medicinal marijuana growers. Illinois lawmakers are being asked to okay a plan that would let some ill people grow and use marijuana as medicine. The backlash against medical pot is a little late to the debate, but will be cause enough for some lawmakers. The medical marijuana proposal is stuck as sponsors try and find support to get it through the Illinois General Assembly.
It appears this broad-based coalition is basing their entire prohibition argument on two theories. One, the gateway theory, and two, the theory that evil Mexican cartels will move into the state and set up shop. First, marijuana is not a gateway drug. In fact, in a review by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences Institute of Medicine, the gateway theory was debunked. Quote, pot was not a gateway drug to the extent that it is a cause or even that it is the most significant predictor of serious drug abuse, end quote. Second, law enforcement are using the same argument to scare people against medical marijuana as did Harry Anslinger, the founder of what has become the DEA, way back in the 1930s.
There are 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the U.S., and most are Negroes, Hispanics, Filipinos, and entertainers. Their satanic music, jazz, and swing result from marijuana use. This marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations with Negroes, entertainers, and any others. The primary reason to outlaw marijuana is its effect on the degenerate races. Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Reefer makes darkies think they're as good as white men. Marijuana leads to pacifism and communist brainwashing. You smoke a joint and you're likely to kill your brother. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
There is no room for racism in this debate. America has woken up to this fact, and we are wise to the racist propaganda. Help us educate those who oppose medical marijuana and contact your elected representative now. Let's get this legislation passed in Illinois and help sick people get the medicine their freedom affords.
Well, I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org, normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards.
Hey, We've got a very special set of guests here for the Normal Daily Audio Stash Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you here by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. Want to thank Human and the Human Revolution for being here today. Welcome!
Hey! Thanks. It's great to be here.
All right. First of all, Human, I'll let you take care of the introductions.
Oh, okay. Your name is Russ.
I'm Russ, yes.
this guy over here to my far, far left is Mr. Oliver. Oliver Jacobson. He's met him in Costa Rica last year, and he's been following me around the country on the fiddle. And this pretty lady right here is Miss Zahira Soul, and she's a wonderful singer, songwriter herself from all over the world. But we've somehow chained her to our van, and she's actually following us around now too.
Kind of like National Lampoon's Vacation.
Well, you know, I have like a little swan that rides on the back of
right.
Okay. Oh, a little sidecar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So your band, Human and the Human Revolution, you're based out of California. Tell people about how you came together and what you're all about.
Okay. Well, we're called the Human Revolution. My name is Human, but the band is actually the Human Revolution, and I moved to Mendocino, California, in 2002. We started a band called Human and the Musical Menagerie, and then we started changing members, so we became Human and the Evolution. Oh no, Human and the Revolution was next, and then that started changing, so we became Human and the Evolution. And at some point, we figured out we wanted the band to stop evolving, so we said, "Okay, Human," and then somehow or another, it became Human and the Other Humans.
Wow.
But now we finally decided to settle on the website I've had for 5 years, which is the Human Revolution.
Well, that worked out perfectly. It reminds me of my old playing days. Some days I couldn't remember what year something happened, but I could remember what the band name was at the time. And that's how you kind of locate it.
Exactly.
Chronologically. Exactly. Now, how did you get to become part of the group?
Well, I've been traveling all over, and Human and I have been on and off just jamming together, and I sat in on a few shows last year. I've been a part of a band called Zajanada, and we've kind of played at the same festivals, and it's just been time. It's time. We're both really, really excited about our mission and our music, and we've joined forces, and we're just spreading the light, and we see it in each other, and we're reflecting it through the music, and I love what Human does and what he writes, and he's been gracious enough to welcome some of my songs into the project and help, like, letting me write some verses for the songs, and
that's
been
great.
Wonderful to sing harmony with him and just support his project and the light that he has for this world.
Yeah, it's an amazing collaboration. We got to see you live here in Portland at the Global Marijuana March, out in our wonderful, beautiful Portland humidity that we call it there. Some people call it rain.
Oh, we call that rain where I come from.
That's just a little humidity. Nothing to worry about there. You mentioned the mission of the group. What exactly is the mission?
Well, I'd say the mission of the group is to spread information through music and inspire people to live in ways that are more suitable and in line to all life on the planet. So living in harmony with nature and living in harmony with each other, basically to stop all war and violence, I guess.
All right. That's a great message. No, that goes back to, you know, goes back to John Lennon, goes back to so many artists who've, you know, had the same message. And it's a beautiful, and sometimes, you know, we laugh about like we're going to change the world or something.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, this is how it starts, is by getting people aware of what's going on around them and aware of the injustice through, you know, just in this one area of marijuana prohibition, to be specific, or in general, like you're talking about with war and injustice, man against man. So I don't think that's anything necessarily to laugh at. I think it's a beautiful mission, man. I think that's cool.
No, I think so too. And marijuana prohibition is definitely, in my opinion, it's one of the leading movements. It's more organized. There's more marijuana smokers and cannabis users, and even beyond marijuana smokers and medical marijuana and cannabis users. You know, there's the hemp plant, which is literally was the foundation of this country and many countries before it. And We've all been hoodwinked and hijacked by the oil industries and the paper industry and all those crazy petroleum things. And
yeah, like we say, anything you can make out of a tree or a barrel of oil, you can make from hemp, and
right.
It's time we make a change in that. Let me go over to Oliver here. You play, now, is it fiddle or violin in the band?
You know what, I would say it's probably more fiddle.
Okay, so you play fiddle in the band.
Unfortunately, the fiddle's locked in the car. I locked the keys in the car, and there ain't no fiddle right now.
Ain't no fiddle right now. Yeah. But you had mentioned something about meeting in Costa Rica. Tell us about Costa Rica.
I was down there with a band called Incas, which is a world tribal rock band, medicine rock, and we're playing a beautiful festival down there called Forest Dance, and Human came by, and we're playing by the fire, and met him another night, too, played again, and told me I should come to Mendocino, and we'd make some music.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. So.
Right on. That's something I always notice about in this cannabis community that I like to call it, even outside of just the musical part of it, is how much it brings people together and kind of breaks down boundaries between people. Do you see that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really wonderful to be in the community and sharing in the medicine. It definitely breaks down the social barriers and helps you get into a space where you can all relate to something. I see when I go into the urban areas, you know, I can relate to the urban people who are using cannabis and, you know, also relate to the wonderful people who are creating medicines as well. That's more so my cup of tea is, you know, the medicinals, using cannabis medicinally for migraines. Mm. That's been for me. And I am so in supportive of the whole movement and however I can support, you know, our family.
Mm. Yeah. And it was great for you guys to come up and donate your time and your wonderful music to the Portland event there for the march. I was wondering if we could get you to play a song now for our audience and give them a little taste of the Human Revolution.
I think we could do that.
All right.
Honored. Maybe we should. Should we start with here in California?
Sure.
Might as well start it off with this is kind of a new song. It's not on any of our albums.
Exclusive for the stash.
Exclusive for the stash. Actually, this will be one of the first recordings ever.
Excellent.
Right. And I guess I'll sing the song and then we can talk about the story if there's interest. Okay. So. And I just gotta say, this is this song hits very close to my home. This is a true story. Can't find no work, at least nothing I will do in this old Mideast town. Pockets are empty and I got too much pride. Won't see me handing down the Walmart stars. And the food prices keep growing up. And the weed I'll sell on the weekend ain't paying me enough. And I can't grow no garden, the snow covers it up. California, I'm coming home to you. Packed up my sandals, packed up my dungarees, put all my tie-dyes in the box. Lord, I won't need them and I won't need no shirt. Probably won't even need my socks. Packed up my little car and I'm on my way. Wipers busted, pray I don't get no rain. Then somewhere outside Elko, my tires, they went flat. California ain't holding me back. California, fruit hangs heavy on the vine, and the fields turn brown in the summer, so thank God for the weed, water, and wine. Insert little solo here. Wait, did we do that one? Okay, yeah. Got me a job in the ganja, picking the field.
much sweeter than gold. Got me a sweater and a hoodie made of them. The winters do get cold. Yeah, the winters, they get rainy and cold. So I sit and watch the waves crash on the rocks. And I live in a small town where no one's doors are locked. And I sit by the wood fire and sing songs with my friends. California, I hope this never ends. Here in California, fruit hangs heavy on the vine. And the fields turn brown in summer. So thank God for the weed, water, and thank God for the weed, water, and wine. I thank God for the weed, water, and wine.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks, Russ.
Now, I caught that in there, so I am definitely interested because I, too, have had my tires go flat outside of Elko, Nevada.
No.
I am absolutely serious. I've had I've spun out in a blizzard outside of Fallon one time, too.
Oh,
so,
man.
So tell us the story behind that, at least.
Okay, well, the story of the song is basically the story of my life. You know, I was raised, lived most of my life in the Midwest, in Mid-East, actually, in Ohio. I don't know why they call it the Midwest if it's east of the Mississippi.
I don't either.
Just doesn't really make much sense to me. But anyways, raised there, and I was, there's no money, really. There's not much money. All the industry's gone. You can work at a gas station, work at a Burger King, and I did both. And then what do, you know? So I decided to move out of there and listening to, I remember I was driving, it was 2002, and I was heading to California with my car all packed up, and I remember I was listening to Spearhead's Stay Human album, and all of a sudden I started smelling something kind of funny, and then I heard something kind of funny, and then I wasn't driving anywhere. And luckily I was on a long stretch of highway. I mean, we were probably a good we were pretty far out of town, but anyways, we ended up getting to town, and I think we got a tow truck, or what did we do? I don't even remember. To be honest, I don't remember how that turned out. I do know I got to California.
Yeah, obviously.
And some of y'all who are familiar with Kate Wolf's music, she was a folk singer based in Mendocino, California, and she had some pretty really great songs, like Across the Great Divide and a bunch of great ones. But she had a song called Here in California that I really like. Mm-hmm. And that was a much more sped up chorus than she would do it. But I borrowed a lot of that chorus from her. And then I added the weed, water, and wine thing because, well,
it's
Mendocino, California. We got weed, water, and wine. And what more do you need?
All right.
Food. Okay, food.
Some food would be nice. So what's next for the band as far as touring, albums, and people wanting to get in touch with you?
Well, people can always reach us on the www.thehumanrevolution.org. And in terms of what the band's doing, we're just about finishing up our first leg of our West Coast full band tour. And we have a gig coming up this Wednesday, actually. I don't know when this is broadcast, but the Fez Ballroom, that's this Wednesday. I don't know what's the date this Wednesday. Oh, shoot. It's the 6th.
6th, yeah.
All right, so May 6th.
Yeah, this is going on tonight's show, so you can
go ahead. Great.
Yeah.
So we got a gig this Wednesday, May 6th. We're going to be doing a live video shoot here in downtown Portland at the Fez Ballroom. A couple opening acts, Naco and Medicine for the People, mm-hmm. And also the Volt Per Octaves are going to do a little stint for us. And then we'll be going on around 9:30, 10:00. We're going to do a full video shoot. It's a great location, a lot of fun. And we're going to – it's basically a CD release party for our album that we came out with, our most recent album, the Love Revolution album. And we're promoting that and touring on that. And then I think the next day we're going to get up real early, and Oliver, Zahira, and I – as well as our booking manager, Alia, are headed to Peoria, Illinois, where we'll be starting our acoustic tour. So we're going to be playing in Peoria on the 10th at Coffee Roasters there. You can check it out on our website. I don't have all the information there. Bloomington, Indiana will be on May 12th at Max's Place, I believe. On the 13th, we'll be in Kent, Ohio at the Professor's Pub. And not sure after that. We've got some open dates. We'll be hitting up Brattleboro, Vermont, a couple shows in Boston, Massachusetts, and then down to New York City. We'll be there for about a week. And then we'll be going south to there, North Carolina, Tennessee. I think we're going to try and hit a Bonnaroo as well.
Oh, that'd be great. We'll get you in touch with all the normal chapters on the way through there, do some cross-promotion.
Awesome.
That would be really a good thing because I think, I listened to a lot of the music that you played at the march, and it was really positive messages for the community about this marijuana prohibition that just has to end.
Yeah.
There's just no reason it's continuing. Now, Zahir, you had some music that you have added to the band. Was that the other song we were going to hear? Or?
Oh, well, we could do that one. Yeah.
Oh, whatever songs you want to grant us would be wonderful.
I would love to share my song.
Let's see. You want to do Kindness?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
my German friends would say, Ausgezeichnet.
Ausgezeichnet.
It was awesome. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for coming here. I so much appreciate this, and I wish you guys all the best and all the success that you deserve. You guys are incredibly talented.
Thank you, brother.
I want everybody listening to this to go see The Human Revolution. Check out thehumanrevolution.org. With the word the, right?
The Human Revolution.
Yeah. Thehumanrevolution.org. I know some of you need to write that down. Thehumanrevolution.org. I know my audience.
Yes.
Human, Zahira, and Oliver.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. And who else is with the band that wasn't here?
Well, we've got a, we're not just an acoustic group. We're actually a six-piece electric band. We've got a Peter Temple on bass, Peter Temple Studio, is where we record all our albums in Mendocino, California. We got Abe Dirtner on guitar. Abe's just an incredible guitarist.
He was playing on Saturday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll testify.
Los Angeles. he's just a Los Angeles studio cat, played on all kinds of great albums you've heard of. And anyways, we're really blessed to have him on tour with us. And one of San Francisco's best jazz drummers, Jimmy Gallagher. Somehow we roped him into touring with us as well. And I should definitely not forget to mention our support crew, which is Tej. Tej is our sound man, and also he chimes in on instruments here and there. And,
yeah, he's an amazing musician as well.
And also Monkey, who's our tour monkey. Every band needs a good monkey, especially every human band. we've discovered this is invaluable. And then also Alia, our booking manager, who's inspired us to come up here and spend time in Portland. And it's been a real honor, man.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. We hope to see you again sometime, maybe for the Portland Hemp Stock.
We will definitely be here for Hemp Stock. We'll be at the Seattle Hemp Fest, and maybe even before the Hemp Stock, I think we'll be rolling through town one more time.
So. Right on. All right, everybody. Human, Zahira, Oliver, The Human Revolution. Thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
We leave you today with a reminder to catch The Human Revolution at thehumanrevolution.org. And big thanks to them for appearing at the Global Cannabis March here in Portland and live here at Normal West Coast Media Headquarters for a great acoustic set. Like I said, you can't find those songs anywhere yet. Brand new here for the Stash. If you've got musical submissions you'd like to hear on the Normal Daily Audio Stash, send them to me here at stash@normal.org, and I'll send you the instructions on how you can get your music entered in the Global Marijuana Music Awards, which of course is our source for all of our great podcast music. Also, if you've got photos or video or would like to write up a short article about your marijuana march in your town this weekend, send those to me at stash@normal.org. We'll get them posted for the rest of the world to see. It's always a good time bringing news and information and entertainment to the global cannabis community. And thanks for listening. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.